This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Today, Secretary of State Colin Powell meets with the UN Secretary General to talk about improving security inside Iraq. This week's bombing of a United Nations compound in Baghdad adds urgency to that discussion. Some U.S. options include increasing the number of American troops, increasing the number of international forces, calling on United Nations support, maintaining the current force, or some combination of these. We're about to hear several perspectives on what to do next in Iraq, including the view of one of the most important American decision makers. Yesterday, a reporter asked Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld if the U.S. should send more troops to Iraq. Rumsfeld said he'd just been hearing from senior defense officials and generals on the ground.
At the moment, the conclusion of the responsible military officials is that the force levels are where they should be, and that the effort should be on developing additional Iraqi capabilities rather than additional coalition capabilities beyond those that have been committed.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld spoke yesterday in Honduras. Retired U.S. Army Major General William Nash is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
How do you bring the security situation under control?
Well, at the present time, I think we need to increase the force levels. I agree completely that the Iraqi solution, that is bringing the Iraqis into the security picture, is essential, but I see that as a long-term effort.
The United States is training the Iraqi military.
Exactly, and that's important, and in the long term will be the path to success. But in the interim, I think additional forces are necessary to bring the situation under control.
140,000 are not enough?
I don't think so. I think what we've seen in the last several months demonstrates how thin we are and the lack of presence in a lot of places. It allows people to operate.
You do have to wonder, though, if an excess of force would really make that much difference.
Well, it is a big country, and I think we've seen that much of what we're facing now may be coming from outside of Iraq, and therefore the force levels are being built up on the other side. And I think Iraq has become a magnet for a lot of folks that want to attack the U.S. and U.S. interests. And they've chosen, as we've seen in the last several weeks, the soft targets, the embassies. And I think the Jordanian embassy may well be the first of many that would be attacked.
What is the downside to increasing the force level, given that you've only got an army that's so big and you're going to have to rotate people in and out?
Well, that's exactly right. It's a very difficult situation. It undoubtedly will call for increasing the number of National Guard or Reserve forces that are on active duty, which is a very difficult decision, both in terms of resources and in terms of the political impact. And it's very difficult to maintain a large presence in Iraq and still meet all our other obligations around the world.
William Nash is a retired U.S. Army Major General and a senior fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations. General Nash, thanks very much.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Nancy Soderbergh is a former ambassador to the U.N. in the Clinton administration. She is now a vice president at the International Crisis Group. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, General Nash, as we've just heard, thinks we need more U.S. troops on the ground. What's your opinion of that?
No question about it. I mean, it reminds me of the real estate mantra, location, location, location. Until we get the security right, it's security, security, security. And what the U.S. needs to do is drop its ideological objection to internationalizing this process, first by going back to the Security Council and authorizing a multinational force so that we can get capable troops like the Indians, who've offered 17,000, the French and the Germans in there, and have a broader coalition there that can meet the challenge. We cannot do this alone.
You're suggesting that bringing the UN in would improve the political situation, but this week's attack on the UN headquarters and an earlier attack on the Jordanian embassy suggests that it's not just the United States, that any troops, any outsiders are really going to come under attack. Is the United Nations willing, and not just willing, but able to carry out peacekeeping in Iraq?
Well, the UN cannot do enforcement. The UN does not have the forces capable of fighting a war anywhere, but it can bless the politics of a multinational force to keep the peace in Iraq. And that means not a UN force, but a coalition of member states who will come in, pay their own way, bring their own equipment, and, you know, be the tough ninja turtles on the ground to stand up to the evil forces in in Iraq. The Indians, for instance, were ready to send 17,000 troops in, but they'll only do it if we have a new UN authorization of a multinational force. Secondly, we need to broaden the politics of what's going on the ground by giving the UN a broader role. Nothing short of that will get the forces needed there in the level that is necessary.
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Nancy Soderberg is a former ambassador to the UN under the Clinton administration. She is now a vice president at the International Crisis Group. Finally, we turn to retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters. He is the author of Beyond Terror, a look at the threat of terrorism and unconventional warfare. Colonel Peters, is that the answer, more UN participation?
Well, the UN is the wrong organization to head a military operation in Iraq. The UN's quite good at peacekeeping, but as of yet, there is no peace to keep. The United States and Britain will continue to do the heavy lifting. In other words, even if we get the Indians and others in Iraq, they'll backfill in less threatened areas of the country. Ambassador Soderberg was also right about, she said, location, location, location. I just say you need to see cops on the beat. Presence matters. We did not have enough troops during the war. We do not have enough troops on the ground in Iraq now. Several months after the war. Just the certainty that the soldiers will be there is very important psychologically to the Iraqis and as a deterrent to our enemies. Now, we can't defend every target in Iraq. We can't be everywhere. You just cannot do that. No one has enough troops for that. But we need to achieve a better balance between protecting the most valuable targets, the most threatened targets, and continuing judiciously aggressive operations against the enemies of peace. It's never going to be Iowa, but will it be a better Iraq? That's a victory.
If it is so, though, obvious that more troops are needed, why hasn't the Pentagon sent in more troops, in your opinion?
Our military is overstretched, ground forces especially, the Army and Marines. And I think the administration, while I support much of what they've done, they're still trying to do Iraq on the cheap, both financially and politically. And in this very real world of ours, you don't always get what you pay for, but you never get what you don't pay for. Now that we're in there, no matter what any of us thought about the wisdom of being there, we're there, and by God, we had better do it right to the best of America's capabilities, Democrat, Republican, and everybody in between.
Let's look at the long term. As you would see it, how will this get resolved, this whole situation in Iraq?
All I can tell you is that we're certainly going to have a substantial presence in Iraq for at least 2 years, and I'll be surprised if we don't have a residual presence 10 years from now. And it's going to be at least a decade before we begin to understand the ramifications of Operation Iraqi Freedom and its aftermath. But what we're doing now, what we're trying to do, is not rebuild Iraq. We can't. The Iraqis have to do it. We're helping. We're putting the training wheels on the bicycle for them. But ultimately, the Iraqis have to ride the bicycle themselves. And whether they can do that in 2 or 3 years or never quite get the hang of it remains an open question. None of us can answer that question at this time.
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters. He's the author of Beyond Terror, Strategy in a Changing World.
Renee Montaigne also spoke with Ambassador Nancy Soderberg, and I spoke with retired General William Nash.